You're listening to Confidently She. I'm your host and body image coach, Rebecca Biggie, and I'm here to help you find your voice, embrace your body, and become the most confident version of you. Take a deep breath, because this could be the beginning of the rest of your life. All right, welcome back. We are in episode 2 of this social currency series on Confidently She. And for this episode, I wanted to do something kind of fun. I've never really seen this done before. I just had this thought pop into my brain as I was sitting here. And I thought it would be cool to just read some quotes from the book and then dissect them a little bit, dive into them a little bit. And then when you get the book and you're reading through it, these can kind of be your little Easter eggs, your little gems to look out for in the different chapters, because these are pulled from all chapters of the book. So as you read through the book, you will be like, oh, I remember that. That was on the podcast episode. I'm so glad that I read this. So see what I'm doing there? I think that it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for me. It's going to be fun for you. And then it'll be something familiar when you do end up getting the book and reading through it in its entirety. So if you haven't already, here's your reminder to submit your pre-order either on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can go to socialcurrencybook.com, purchase the book, and then copy your order number, because you're going to need that to submit for the bonuses. And right now, the bonus that I'm offering is the introduction to the book emailed directly to you when you send in that information. So go to socialcurrencybook.com if you haven't already. If you listened to the first episode, though, I'm sure you have already done all of this. So I'm not going to hammer it home too much in this episode, because you should have done that already, right? You have already done that. You have completed your task. And maybe you have already read the introduction. I don't know. But none of these quotes are from the introduction, so this will all be new. No matter what your situation is, you are allowed to quit. There's nothing magic about any given life path. Plenty of doctors are miserable. Plenty of mothers are miserable. Plenty of movie stars are miserable. There's no path that never leads to misery. There's no guaranteed path to happiness. I'm glad we're starting with that one. This quote, this breakdown, is trying to shed light on the fact that what makes you happy is going to make someone else miserable. And what makes someone else happy might make you miserable. So you need to keep this in mind as you are choosing a career path, as you are choosing a relationship, as you are choosing where you want to live, how you want to use your money, how you want to style your hair, like all of those things. But the big things, we're so afraid to be seen as a quitter or to be seen as someone who can't hack it, you know, they can't make it work, someone who failed, right? But quitting isn't failing. I really don't think so. I think quitting is a sign of strength. It's a sign of knowing when you've reached your limit. And you have to take a step back and kind of be like, did I really quit this? Or did I reach the point where I knew that it wasn't for me? So challenge that use of the word quitting, because that can have a negative connotation. But I like to use that to give people permission to be like, just quit, just quit. Like, what is going to happen if you just quit? And especially these things that I pointed out, like becoming a doctor, becoming a mother or a parent, becoming a movie star. Like, I feel like those are the big things that's like, ooh, celebrity, or ooh, family, or ooh, big prestigious career path. Those are the things that we get locked into, and we start thinking that if we don't have all these things that we've seen other people in our life have, or that we've seen on TV, or that we've seen just anywhere, we think that, oh, that must be why I'm miserable. Oh, that must be why I'm not happy. Or you're hearing it from people in your life trying to tell you to do something, but right now you are happy. So you're like, maybe are they right? Like, would I be even happier if I did this? Maybe I'll just do it to make my mom happy. Definitely don't do things just to make your parents happy. I really like this quote because it releases you from the social pressures that culture puts on you. Culture says you can't quit. Culture says you have to get married, you have to have kids, you have to contribute to a 401k, you have to buy a house, you have to have a pet. Like, and that's just kind of American culture, by the way. So every culture has its own norms, things that they consider normal within that culture. And that's what I talk about in this book too, that it's like your sense of what is normal and what is progression and what is a good thing is all based on where you're living. And there's someone on the other side of the world who doesn't see it the same way, and yet they are alive as a human being living their life. This quote pushes back on the concepts that culture tries to project onto you. And the number one thing is that you're allowed to quit at any time. Even if you have been going down a certain path for years, I put this on the inside flap of the hardcover book, but it's not coming out in hardcover. I was only able to get these because I'm the author and I wanted them. But the quote says, "Forget the end of your life. I don't want you to look back at the end of this week and realize you paid attention to the wrong things." Time is so valuable. Time is so precious. Even if you have spent a long time on a certain path, it doesn't mean that you need to keep going. Here's the next quote. "You have the power to choose what you value about yourself and others. This isn't about completely throwing out everything you value and forcing yourself to value other things. You're probably closer than you think. You just need to slightly reallocate your attention portfolio." How? By investing in life assets. So this quote is getting really deep into the details of how social currency works and how you should be investing your attention not in social currency, but in what I call life assets. And you're going to have to read the book to figure out what those life assets are. But essentially, because you have realized that everything you were trained to value and pay attention to was just given to you, they were scripts given to you by culture, that means it's completely within your power to rip up those scripts and write new ones. If you were raised to believe that the only way to be a respectable person was to get a college degree, for example, get a college degree, go to grad school, something like that, and you're sitting there as someone who didn't go to college or went to college but didn't feel like they really got anything out of it, or went to college, got a degree, got a master's, but now is doing something completely outside of that, and you are happy and fulfilled, but you're carrying around this guilt about this script that you had growing up that the only way to be a respectful or respectable adult is to get this education and apply that education in your career, you can let go of that guilt. Same thing with body image, same thing with the way that you perceive yourself. If you grew up thinking a certain body type was the only body type that was allowed to be called beautiful, to feel confident, anything like that, and you don't fit into that body type, you are allowed to rewrite that rule and say, no, no, no. It's not true that everyone all over the world agrees that this is the only body type that can be confident, that is allowed to be loved or complimented. It's just not true. And so many of the things that we think are rigid rules really aren't. And it's about figuring out for yourself, what are the things that I value? What are the things that I value in other people? And then how do I have some of those traits, characteristics, assets? What parts of those things do I have that I can start recognizing in myself and appreciating in myself? And so, like I said in the book, you don't have to completely start over. You don't have to start from scratch and be like, I'm not going to care about having long hair anymore as a woman, and I'm going to cut my hair really short to prove that, you know, I'm revolting against some of these beauty standards set up by culture. You don't have to do that. You might be closer than you think, but what you do have to do is measure and adjust where your attention is going. Now, moving on, this is a good one. You are accountable only for the things you can control. When you feel powerless against something, take stock of the things you can control and surrender to the rest. So I think we get hard on ourselves because we think that we are supposed to be in control over more things than we actually are. You can only be held accountable for things that you are supposed to do. You can't do much. You can control what you say. You can control how long you will think about something. You can control what you do to a certain extent, but you can't control other people. You can't control the weather. So many things. You can't control your health. Oftentimes we feel powerless and we feel tired. We feel distracted, but that's only because we're trying to control something that's outside of our control. That's why you feel powerless, because if you had control over it, you'd be able to find small ways to take action. And then that feeling of powerlessness goes away and you feel better. And whether or not you've really changed the outcome, you have done something about it. And the second half of this is surrendering to the rest. So let's wrap up with one final quote. One final quote from Social Currency. Ooh, I like this one. Though power can come in many forms, money, control, even brute strength, it is not in the exercising of power that social currency comes. It is in the option to exercise it. So, spoiler alert, there are three forms of social currency: beauty, power, and status. And as I'm explaining here, there are lots of different types of power in our social structures. You can have money, that's a form of power. You can have control. You can be physically strong, right? That's a source of power. But you don't have to spend your money in order for people to treat you a certain kind of way because they know you have money. Got it? You don't have to punch someone in the face. If you're big and strong and have big muscles, you don't have to actually attack someone in order for them to treat you with a certain level of social respect because they can see they're probably pretty physically strong. They have power. And I can see that. So this is an interesting part of social currency because you don't have to use it to benefit from it. You don't have to spend that social currency to benefit from the fact that you have it. Some people who are very, very wealthy, they you'd never know because they don't want the attention that comes with social currency. When you have high amounts of social currency, you get a lot of attention, whether you like it or not. And sometimes people can misconstrue the attention you get as someone seeking attention, but you don't have to seek attention to get it. Again, I could talk about this all day, but these were a few quotes from Social Currency. I hope you have your pre-order copy submitted and you've already read the introduction. I hope you enjoy it. This has been Confidently She. I am Rebecca Biggie, and I will see you right back here next week.